Amen. God is wonderful. He's amazing. Psalm 71, 18 and 19 says, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God?" Do you know that there is no one like God? There is no one like Jesus Christ in your life. Do you know that Christ is the most powerful thing in our life? If you have Jesus Christ, if you've been bought by the precious blood, if the Holy Spirit resides in you, He is the most powerful thing in your life. And He's the God who moves mountains. Do you know that? Do you have testimonies, church, of God moving mountains in your lives? Prayer requests that you've offered up to the Lord that He's answered in a mighty way, an impossible way. He's moved the biggest mountains in our life. Some of the hardest things, the things that we thought were impossible, God did. And if you're a believer in Christ, you know this. The biggest mountain in our life is He removed sin and death. Sin no longer defines us. We're no longer shamed by it, for Christ took it and cast it as far as the east is from the west. And now death has no sting anymore. No sting anymore. We can say, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting?" Why? Because Christ has conquered death. He's conquered the grave. So the question I want to ask you tonight is, do people see Christ moving mountains in your life? Have you told them of the wonderful things He's done in your life? Do people around you know God is moving in your life? John chapter 9 is where we're going to be tonight. John chapter 9. I pray that this message is an encouragement to you, but I also pray that this message gives you confidence to share the message of Jesus Christ, to share what Christ can do for a person who is lost, for a person who does not know where to go, for a person who's unsaved. Do you know that Christ can change their life? I pray that is what you're sharing with the world. Let's pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open up your word tonight, Lord, let it speak to us in a mighty way. Let us leave here not unchanged, but let it change our hearts in a way that we are motivated to continue to follow you with all of our heart. Lord, there is no one to follow but you. For you, Lord, lead us to life. The world leads us to death. Lord, let us follow you because you are leading us the right way. And let the world see what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, it says, As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Here, what is happening is Jesus is on his way. He's going, he's doing about his ministry, and he comes along a man who is blind from birth. And let me just take a side note. Do you know that Jesus knows your pains? Do you know Jesus knows your struggles and your ailments in life? I hope that is comforting for you to know that God is not distant from you. He doesn't know what you're going through, but God knows what you're going through. He knew that this man was going to be there. And God knows what you're going through. This is comforting for us to know. I pray it is. But his disciples ask him this question. It's a simple question that they ask. Right? Simply they say, "Why is this man blind? Is it because of him and his sins? Or is it because his parents' sins?" See, this was a huge misconception from the people, especially the Jews, is that if something bad happened to you, if you were born a certain way, or if sufferings came into your life, then you must have sinned. You must have done something wrong. You must have went the opposite way. You must be rebelling against God. This is the same thing the friends of Job said to him. He said, Job is going through all this suffering and pain. He's lost his family. He's lost his livestock, his job, his house. Everything is gone. And his friends come up and they tell him basically through chapters and chapters and chapters. They're saying, "Job, you must have rebelled against God." And Job is pleading his case through this whole time. "I've done nothing wrong. But yet I'm suffering." And maybe you've felt that way in your life where you're asking the question, "Well, I've done nothing wrong. Why is all of this happening to me? Why am I going through so much suffering? Why was I born this way?" Maybe that's what this man is asking. We don't know. It doesn't give us a lot of details. But you can imagine if you were born blind, you may ask the question, Why was I born this way? Why am I going through all these struggles? Why do I have to beg? Why do I have to go through these things? And sometimes we fall into the same trap, right? Many times we ask the question, why is this happening to me? Right? And that we allow those questions to move into anger. And we allow that anger to move to doubt. And we allow the doubt to move to unbelief. Many people do not believe in God simply because of the things they're going through. Not even because really they don't think he exists, but mainly because they think that, why, if there's a God who is out there, why would he allow me to go through this? Many people ask this question, and this is what Jesus is answering to his disciples. They ask that question, why is this man blind? Is it because he sinned or his parents sinned? What does Jesus say? It says Jesus tells them this has all happened so that the power of God might be displayed. Do you know that sometimes your suffering, God allows suffering in your life in order for his power to be displayed to the world? So that God can get the glory. So that his name can be praised. And many of you know that God has brought you through a suffering or pain in your life. And God gets the glory because he's done a powerful thing in your life. Sometimes we go through sufferings so God's glory can be seen. And the question, it really is, what do you do when suffering comes? Do you trust God is going to bring glory from it? Or do you think nothing is going to happen? Do you think you're just going to be stuck the way you are? God can't really heal me. God can't restore me. God can't redeem me. Many people struggle with that. Do you trust he can use whatever suffering in your life to bring glory to his name? See, what I want us to understand as we continue to go through this message tonight is that there are many spiritually blind people. Many people that are blind to the things of God, but only Jesus Christ has the power to give sight. Do you know that, church? That only Jesus has the power to give sight to the blind. He's the only one that can heal this man of his blindness. And for those that are spiritually blind, Jesus is the only one that can heal spiritual blindness. He is the only one. Verse 6 says, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told them, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him and begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like the man. But he himself insisted, I am the man. Now then, how then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked. I don't know. He said, now we see this man for just a minute. You can imagine this for a moment. He's been blind forever, right? He's never been able to see. He's never been able to see anything in his whole life. And Jesus comes along and he spits on the ground to make some mud and he wipes it on his eyes and he tells the man, go to the pool of Siloam and wash and you'll be able to see. What does he do? I love it. I think it is so amazing. It says at the end of verse 7, so the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now imagine that. Again, I'll say, he could not see. He was blind since the day he was born, been blind forever, and now he goes and he washes in this pool, he washes the mud from his eyes, and he says he comes home seeing. Do you know? That's the power of God. That is the power of God. You imagine this was amazing for him. Amazing. This is the power of God. Jesus simply made some mud and he put it on his eyes and told him to go and wash and he would be able to see. You can imagine, he probably sprinted to that pool. Jesus has given this man hope. He's been begging his whole life in order to make some money because he's blind. He can't work. He can't do anything. So he has to sit and beg for money. And Jesus said, go to the pool and wash. If it was me, I'm sprinting to that pool. I'm going and washing. And he came home seeing. And many times this is how God has met us in our life. Can you imagine the man? He was sitting there just an average day begging, but Jesus came along. Jesus came into his life. Unexpectedly, he simply called us and we become children of God. That's how simple the gospel is, church. That we were blind, Jesus calls us, and now we can see. That is the power of God. That's the power of God, right? He calls us and we become children of God. It's that simple. He tells them to go, wash, and he comes home seeing. And many times Jesus is calling us. He says, believe in me and you'll be saved. Believe in me and you'll be saved. If you need hope tonight, listen to me closely. Go to Jesus and you'll see. You'll be healed. You'll be saved. You'll have hope. Hope. And then it says the people began seeing this man. They took notice. What do they say? They said, this guy's not the same guy. This can't be the same blind guy that was begging. This can't be the same guy. They began to say, there's no way. It's got to be somebody different. It's impossible. Nobody can be blind and then see. That's impossible. But let me again tell you that God does the impossible. The thing in your life you think never will happen. Your physical ailments, your whatever, maybe you're broken in spirit, whatever it may be, God can heal you. What you think is impossible is not impossible for God. And they begin to see this man changed, different. So the question is, do people see a change in your life? Because listen to me when I tell you, when Jesus comes into your life changes. When Jesus steps into your life, you cannot help but change. Is it a step by step? Do you change completely overnight? Absolutely not. Christ begins to sanctify you. You begin to change over time. You begin to grow more closer and closer to Jesus. But when Jesus comes into your life, you do begin to change. And if you haven't changed, let me just be bold and tell you that maybe you should be asking the question, is Jesus really in my life? I'm not saying whether he is or not. But if it was me, I'd be asking the question. I would be asking the question. The people begin to ask, how? How is it possible? How is it possible? What does the man tell him? What does this blind man say? The blind man that now can see, he tells him how. He says, this guy made some mud. He rubbed it on my eyes. I went, washed, and now I can see. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. And I find this part to be very funny because most of us, if we heard that Jesus is going to spit on the ground, make it some mud, rub it on our eyes, we're like, yeah, no way, Jesus, keep that to yourself. Remember, this guy's blind. He might not even know that Jesus spit on the ground. I think it's funny that he doesn't say that. He leaves out Jesus spit on the ground to make the mud. He just says mud. But Jesus did spit on the ground to make the mud. Many of us, if we knew that, like, yeah, I'll stay blind. Probably not, actually. We'd be like, okay. But he simply tells them the story. He makes it very plain and simple. He doesn't get extravagant or give lots of details or tries to persuade them in a mighty way or use elegant words. He does none of that. He simply says, he made some mud, rubbed it on my eyes, I went to the pool, I washed, and now I can see. Do you know that is how easy it is to share the gospel? Simply tell the people what Jesus has done in your life. That's as simple as it has to be. We make it too complicated. We make it too complicated. It's not that complicated. God simply just wants you to tell the people what he's done for you. How he saved your life. How he's healed your life. The amazing testimonies. What he's done in your story. And some of us shy away because we're scared for some reason. We got lots of reasons. Many people have lots of reasons. But sharing Christ is simply just sharing what he's done for you. It's that simple. And I find the last part kind of funny as well. Is they ask, where is this man? Where is the man that can heal the blind? And it happened so fast. He says, I don't know. I don't know where he went. I don't know. That fast. Do you know Jesus can save your life that fast? Many of us are waiting or wandering. But if we come to Jesus, And we say, Lord Jesus, I want you to save my life that fast. Why wait? Why wait for something that can happen that fast? That fast. All this happened so fast, he doesn't even know where he went. Verse 13, it says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. Here we see that the Pharisees didn't believe this guy. Right? The people were so astonished about this man, and now that he can see, they brought him to the Pharisees, and they're like, this guy, this Jesus, he can heal the blind. But the Pharisees didn't believe him. Right? They begin to debate. Right? The Pharisee says, Jesus is a sinner, there's no way Jesus could heal the blind. The others say, well, this guy sees. This guy can see. How can a sinner do that? You say Jesus is a sinner, but how can he heal the blind? And see, church, the world is always going to be divided on who Jesus is. That's what I see. Pharisees are divided. The other people that were there are divided. The world is always going to be divided on who Jesus is. Matthew 16, 13 through 16 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. See, church, it's not about who the world says Jesus is. It's simply about who do you say Jesus is. I wish the world all could say that Jesus is the Son of the living God. But it is more important for what do you say he is? Or who do you say he is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of Man? Do you believe he is the Son of the living God? Do you believe he's the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Simon Peter says, he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Do you say Jesus is just a good teacher? Do you say he's just a prophet? Or do you say he is the Son of God, my Lord and Savior? That's the question, church. That's the question. Either that's the question you have to answer in your heart, or that's the question you need to be taking to the world. You need to be asking the world, who do you think Jesus is? And telling them what he has done for you. And what I want to point out about this last part, it's important, is when they turn to the blind man and they ask him, what do you say about this? He says he's a prophet. See, even though this man was blind, and now he can see, he still didn't know fully who Jesus was. Right? They had too short of an interaction. Right? I'm sure he's wondering, who is this guy? But he's like, he's a prophet. Maybe he's a prophet. I don't know. Maybe he's a prophet. Maybe he's a prophet. Even though God may step into your life and heal you, it doesn't necessarily mean that you fully know who he is. What do I mean? Is that sometimes the Lord will bless us, even an unbeliever, not a believer, an unbeliever, in order to draw them closer to him, in order to get them to the point of saying that Jesus is the Lord, the Son of the living God. That's what many times God is doing in the lives of the people that are around you. And many, that's the way God had come to me, drew me closer to him. And God is doing the same thing with this man here. Verse 18, it says, they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one who said was born blind? How is it then he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he is born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he is of age, and he will speak for himself. His parents said this because They were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Here we see the Pharisees again. They don't believe him. They go to his parents. They said, "This guy's got to be lying. He's got to be making up this story. There's no way that he is blind." They refuse to accept the idea that Jesus has the power to heal the blind. They refuse to accept that. They say, "This man must be a liar." So they go to his parents and they ask the question, "Is this your son?" They say, "Yep." "What, has he been blind since birth?" They say, "Yep." "Well, how can he see?" They're like, "I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure how he can see." And it gives us a little bit of insight on why they said this. Not necessarily because they didn't know. Maybe they did know. But because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid of persecution. They were afraid to be thrown out. And I think this part is kind of funny because they were like, "Well, how has he been blind? Has he been blind? I don't know. I don't know. Ask him. He's old enough to tell you himself. What'd he say about it?" They're like, "We didn't like what he said. That's why we're coming to you. He's old enough. Tell him. Ask him." But they were afraid. Afraid to be thrown out of the synagogue. And let me encourage you, church, that even in the face of persecution, tell the truth anyways. Even when people might come after you, whatever it may be, even if you might be ridiculed by your own family, tell the truth anyways. Say the truth anyways. And this is what this man is doing, right? He's saying the truth anyways. He's saying the truth anyways. Why? It's because you're not here to please man, you're here to please God. We are not here to please man, we're here to please God. And here we see that the world is always going to look for God's miracle in a worldly way. Right? The world is always looking for a worldly explanation for the miracle of God. But there's not a worldly explanation for how someone can see who was blind. There's not a worldly explanation for how we were dead and now we're alive. Do you understand that, church? This only comes from Jesus Christ. This is spiritual. It's by the Spirit of the living God. But they deny and they deny and they deny. They can't accept it. They can't admit that Jesus is the way, the truth, and their life. They come up with all kinds of reasons. You've seen it. You see it in the world. You see it every day, probably. Many people come up with many reasons, all kinds of reasons, in order not to give God the glory. In order that Jesus isn't the way, the truth, and the life. But again, the question is not, is the world giving God the glory? The question is, are you giving God the glory for the miracle God has done in your life? How do we do it? How do we give God the glory for the miracle He's done in our life? Again, simply, we tell the truth. We tell what Jesus has done in our life. We say we were once blind, but now we see. We say those things. We say how God has done a miracle in my life, even if people say you're crazy. That doesn't make any sense. You're out of it. We say it anyways. We say it anyways. Verse 24, it says, "The second time they summoned the man who had been blind, give glory to God by telling the truth. They said, 'We know this man is a sinner.' He replied, 'Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see.'" This is my favorite part of this whole story because it is so simple, right? They summoned the man again. They weren't satisfied with the man the first time. Now they're not satisfied with the answer the parents give. And now they say, "Well, we're gonna question him until he finally gives us the answer that we want to hear." So they say, "Give glory to God. Stand before God and tell us the truth." Right? Jesus is a sinner. You've got to be lying. Sinners can't make the blind see. So what does this man say? He says, "Sinner or not, I don't know. I don't know if Jesus is a sinner. But what I do know is that I was blind and now I see." That's what he says. He says, "That's what I know now. I was blind and now I can see." What does this show me is that you don't always have to have every answer to share what God has done with you, done for you. You don't have to have all the answers. Many times what stops us from sharing the gospel is we feel like we gotta have it all together. You don't have to have it all together. Again, you simply gotta tell people what God has done for you. This is what he's doing. He says, I don't know about who Jesus is. I don't know if you say he's a sinner. I don't know if he's a sinner. But what I do know is this man healed my blindness. That I was blind and now I'm standing in front of you. I can see you for the very first time. I can now see. In church, there are a lot of things we don't know. But there are a lot of things we do know in the Christian life. We were dead and now we're alive. We were lost and now we were found. We were blind and now we can see. Amen, church? Do you know that? You might not know every theological word or all those. You don't need to know any of that. Those are good things and wonderful things to grow closer to God. But what you simply need to know, that God has changed your life. The man didn't have all the answers, but he had the answer that counted. Jesus has the power to heal. Jesus has the power to save. And this is all you need to know to share. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that Jesus has the power to save a life. Why? Because he did it for you. Because he did it for you. I find this part to be so simple and so amazing. And I wish, church, I wish we would be simple in sharing the gospel. I think we would see more gospel fruit if we were just simple in telling people, this is what God has done. This is what God can do for you. You don't have to get in a debate. You don't have to do any of that. God simply has called you to share your story, what God has done for you. Verse 26, it says, then they asked him again. It says, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you everything and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So to this they replied, you have steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. And here we find again, they couldn't accept it. They couldn't accept the truth. So they asked him again. How'd it happen? How did Jesus do it? He already told them. And that's what he says. He says, I already told you, but you're not listening. You're not listening. Why? Because they didn't want to listen. They were not there to listen. And see, sometimes no matter how many times you tell someone who Jesus is, there are going to be people who just aren't going to listen. So what do you do then? Simply, you just pray. Because you don't have the power to save anybody. You don't have the power to make anybody believe. You know, that takes a lot of weight off you when you understand that. You share your story, what God has done for you, more when you understand that you don't make someone come to Christ. Christ draws people to Him. He may use us, and praise God, He uses us because we get to see the power of God then. Sometimes the only thing you can do in that situation is pray that God would reveal it to them. Lord, open their eyes. Have a heart for someone who's blind. Someone who can't see, and say, Lord, I've planted the seed. Lord, reveal it to them. Show them the truth. Show him the truth. He did that for you, didn't he? He did that for you. He'll do it for anyone. He can do it for anyone. But what I get from this part is even though that they insulted him, they mocked him, they threw him out of the synagogue, Right? It doesn't seem like a lot of good things are happening from his conversation with these Pharisees. They insult him, they throw him out. But he still stood his ground. He still stood his ground. And what I get from this part is even when they laugh or they mock or they insult you, they say all nasty things about you, whatever they may say about you, you should still stand your ground. Because it is the truth that sets us free, amen? Don't retreat, don't back away from the truth, stand on the truth. Because it is the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that sets people free, the truth of Jesus Christ. Don't stop telling them about Jesus, how Jesus has changed your life, because you only got one moment. One moment. Don't waste it. Don't waste it by retreating or backing away from the truth. Stand on the truth, because listen to me, church. Listen. You're going to give an account. Not to the Pharisees. You're not going to give account to the people of the church. You're not going to give an account to your mom or dad, brother or sister. You're going to give an account before God. About what did you do with the gifts that God's given you? What are you going to do? What are you going to say when God asks you, why didn't you share the gospel? Why didn't you share about what I've done for you? The gifts I've given you, the blessings I've given you. Don't shy away, don't back down. But shout it. Shout that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because again, I'll say, you only got one moment. You only got one moment with your family. You only got one moment with your friends, your coworkers, whatever it may be. And you don't know when the moment is. You don't know when that moment is done. So keep sharing what the Lord has done in your life. Don't stop shouting the name that saves. Praise the Lord, somebody in my life did not stop or retreat or shy away from the truth, but he told me who Jesus was, and now I'm here. I was dead, and now I was alive. I was lost, and now I was found. You could be that same person for somebody else. God is trying to use you to share the greatest story that's ever been told. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Don't shy away. Don't back down. Remember what he's done in your life and tell people about it. I pray that this message is simple. I pray it's a reminder. But church, I think we could be better at sharing what Christ has done. Because he's done a lot. Amen? He's done a ton. More than what we deserved. Amen? It's abounding. It's abundant. And God keeps doing it. Even sometimes in spite of our unwillingness to go and share what he's done, he keeps doing it because he is the God of goodness. Right? Isn't that the song we sang tonight? God's goodness. It's abounding. It's overflowing. It's running after you. It's running after you. Verse 35, let's finish it up here. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. See, this part is amazing, right? They threw him out of the synagogue. He was all by himself. He was maybe alone. Whatever it may be, we're not 100% sure, but they threw him out. And let me tell you, church, even when the world abandons you, God doesn't. God doesn't. Even when your own family may throw you out, maybe when your own family abandon you, your friends abandon you, God doesn't abandon you. Jesus sees him and hears about it, that he's been thrown out, and he goes to him. And Jesus asks him a question. He says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man asks, "Well, who is he? I want to believe in him." And Jesus says, simply, "You're looking at him. I'm right in front of you. I'm right in front of you." See, the man was blind and now he can see. But even though he can see physically, it doesn't mean he can see spiritually. You may have eyes tonight. I think all of us have eyes. Some eyes are better than other eyes. We all have eyes. We all see. But some of us are still blind. Some of us know many people that are still blind. This man, though he can see, is still blind spiritually. He's still blind to who Jesus is. But now not only can he see physically, now he can see who Jesus really is. Now he can see who Jesus really is. Praise the Lord that Jesus never leaves us in just a state of wonder or unknowingness. He always seeks out the lost. Amen, church? He always seeks out the lost. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That is Christ's mission when he was here. He came to seek and save the lost. And do you know that's still his mission? You know that's still what he's doing. He's still seeking and saving the lost. And you might be here and you can see, but you're still blind to who Jesus is. Jesus is knocking on your door. He's asking you, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Do you say Jesus is a teacher or a prophet, or do you say he doesn't exist, or just a man of history, or whatever it may be? Do you say that? Because let me tell you, he's much more than all those things. He's much greater than those things. He's the Savior of the world, the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world, the Son of God. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a man of history. That's what the world says he is. But he is much more. He's the Savior of the world. And just like the blind man says in verse 25, he says, "One thing I do know," right? "I was blind and now I see." Church, again, I will say there's a lot we don't know. But what I do know is Jesus has the power to free the captives. You may be here and you may feel stuck. You may feel imprisoned in your life. You may feel like you can't do anything. You're bound, you're in chains. Listen to me. Jesus has the power. I know this. Jesus has the power to free the captives. Amen, church? And not only that, not only do I know that, but I also know that Jesus has the power to heal the sick. If you're here and you're sick, or you know somebody who is sick, Jesus has the power to heal the sick. Those that have physical ailments, Jesus has the power to heal them. But more importantly, church, Jesus can heal our heart. He can heal what's broken inside of us. That is what's most important. Even if Jesus, God, let you continue in your suffering. Let it be known. If you have Him, you have the blood of Jesus. He's already healed your life. He's only using your suffering for this momentary time to show the power of God. Find it. Show the world it. Say, "I may be suffering from this, whatever it may be, this sickness in my life, but I still know Jesus is the King. Because he's healed my life." And again, Jesus has the power to give sight to the blind. You may be lost tonight. You don't know what direction to go. Who Jesus really is. But Jesus has the power to give sight to the blind. And one thing I do know. Romans 10:9. Says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, that's a promise, church. That's a promise. A promise. If there's anything you've got to know, you've got to know that. You have to know that. That's what changes a person's life. If that was the only thing you knew, then you know everything you need to know. There's a lot of things to know. Knowledge is good. It's wonderful. It's a gift from God. But if simply that is all you knew, then it's enough. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That if I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. I'll be assured. I'll be secured. I'll have hope, a living hope, a hope that the world can't buy, but a hope that's only given by Jesus Christ. See, listen to me, church. God is worthy to be on our lips. Amen. God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy. He's worthy for us to shout His name from the rooftops. And we ought to give God glory for what He's done in our life. We ought to say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for what You've done. And not just thank You, but let me tell somebody about what You've done. The question is, are you? Are you? Are you giving glory for what God has done in your life? And are you sharing it with people? Maybe you're here today and you're struggling sharing what God has done. Ask God to give you strength. Ask God to give you boldness and confidence to share it. Because listen to me, you've got to share it. If you don't know the calling in your life, I can promise you got one calling. And that's to at least share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's your calling. Every one of us in here, you have a calling. It's right there. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share what He's done for your life. Have boldness. Have confidence. For God has done too many things. Too many amazing things not to share it with the world. Amen, church? God has done too many amazing things not to share. So let me ask the question again tonight. Do people see how Christ has changed your life? Are you telling people of what He's done? Because He's done an amazing thing. Amen, church? Let's stand.